means you're awake when I start. And what that means, if you're asleep when I finish, it's my fault. you're awake now. Appreciate that. Lesson this morning is a kind of a continuation of last week's lesson. The last week's lesson, we looked at this story from the Gospel of John. And today we get some added information about the same story from the Gospel of Mark. So that's where our story picks up. We've already read the story, but this just kind of summarizes it again in, by way of introduction. The story is found again in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. And also, if you, just for your curiosity, if you keep flipping back and forth, the same story is in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Here's how Mark tells it. They're in Bethany. They're at the house of Simon the leper. And they're sitting at meat. They're having this common meal together. While they're sitting and eating, there comes a woman having an alabaster box of spikenard. I mentioned last week, that was a precious fragrance. I don't go to cosmetic counters today and ask for spikenard if I'm going to get Christine something smelly. Nice smell. But spikenard was what they had back then. It's kind of a rosy smell. And then it said that she came and she broke open that box that contained this spikenard, and she pours it on Jesus. But there were some in that assembly here at Simon's house that had indignation with themselves, is where the Bible says it. And they said, why was this waste of ointment made? It could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. And they murmured against Mary for what she'd done. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She's wrought a good work on me. You have the poor always with you, and whensoever you will, you can do them good. But me, you have not always. She's done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Then the Judas, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him. Wow. We always remember the Last Supper of Jesus. We just participated in that just a moment ago, the Lord's Supper, that he institutes the next night. This is, sometimes we say, Jesus next to the Last Supper. But yet there's something to be remembered about this event. You look at, I put in your notes, what a gathering of guests. Look at these people that are assembled. There's Simon. It's at his house. He's hosting the event, and he's just been cured of his leprosy. Of course, Jesus is there. He comes to Jerusalem to be crucified. That was foretold about. And he's going to be crucified within the week. There's Martha, and the Gospel of John gives us some of these other names in particular. But Martha, she's involved in serving. There's Lazarus. He's just been raised from the dead, just days before. Then there's Mary. She's the woman that goes and gets this precious, this alabaster box that contains the precious ointment, and she breaks it, or the contents, and pours it over Jesus. Then there's Judas. He's one of the 12. But John describes him as a thief and a betrayer. And then Mark includes these others. They are the ones that join in with Judas with indignation. And they murmur against what Mary's just done. Wow. Can you imagine the table topics that are going on at this meeting? Can you imagine? Wow. Simon, you're healed. What was it like in that leper colony? What's it like being back with us in society? Lazarus. like having supper with Dennis and Pam. For those who don't know, they're funeral people. They work for morticians. So look at the three people in our notes today. They'll highlight these. First, there's Mary. She's the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And in the midst of this evening, during the meal, Mary's overcome by her adoration for Jesus. And remembering this precious family possession, this alabaster box, she impulsively decides to bring it out. And then the conversation stops and says, "Mary, what are you doing?" Now all the attention is away from perhaps Simon and Lazarus and maybe the others. And they stop and they look at Mary's action. She breaks the seal and spreads the contents on Jesus. Now look at Judas. He's the leader of the opposition. Remember, Mark said there were others that joined in with him, murmured against Mary. Oh, I don't like what Mary's doing. Mary, that ointment could have been sold and given to the poor. And that's the question. Why wasn't it sold? That's about a year's pay being poured out on Jesus. They might have been murmuring, "Jesus, that's not consistent with your ministry." Or Jesus, Judas might have said, "That's not the best use of this expensive ointment." "Oh, wait, that's not right," Jesus is kind of saying back to Judas and the others. Because John chapter 12, verse 6 says, Judas said that, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Oh. Judas is kind of making a pretense. Jesus called him on that action. Then there's Jesus. I put in your notes the credits. In my notes, I had it spelled correctly, the critics. I said credits in your notes, so it's kind of critics. Note that. But the critics are probably waiting for Jesus to join in with them. They're saying, "Jesus, help us out with these criticisms. Condemn the action of Mary." But Jesus commends her. And then he gives the explanation. "Let her alone." In other words, why don't you guys be quiet? Almost, you don't know what you're talking about. And so Jesus gives them information. "She's wrought a good work on me. She's done what she could. She's anointed my body beforehand to the burying, because he's going to be crucified in just a couple days." So what about this particular story is worth remembering? What makes this story special? I'll give you three reasons. You can think about it when we give gifts to one another. What makes them special? Number one, love sees the big picture, the lasting value. In other words, love looks beyond the moment right now. Judas has witnessed something beautiful and labels it an action of extravagant waste. Be short-sighted. Jesus said, "You always have the poor, and you'll always have an opportunity to help the poor." That's just in this lesson, this context. See, so much depends on one's point of view. The difference between Judas and Mary was a difference in love. Both were followers of Jesus. Both were close to Jesus. Judas was an official of the apostles. He held the bag. But Mary loved Jesus. There's a difference. And the box could have been sold. She could have sold it, even spent the money on herself. It was hers or the family. She could have kept it in her closet. And maybe she didn't know, but in the long run, perhaps looking back, she's going to say, I'm glad I did that. She may have not have known exactly what she was doing, but she just said, Jesus is here. I have this precious ointment. I'm going to break it open and spend it on Jesus right now. You ever said to yourself, after you spent perhaps something and you said, right at the moment, you might be saying, why did I do that? But then later down the line, you think, oh, I'm glad I did that. Looking back, you think, I'm glad I made that effort. I'm glad I made that long journey. I'm glad I put forth the time with that. At the time, it may not seem like the best decision. And when my parents sent me to Christian college, it was kind of a late enrollment or right close to when school was going to start. I'm all signed up for community college. And they had a recruiter come by to the congregation there to kind of have one of our youth rallies. And they told me, why don't you go to a Christian college? Talk to my mom and dad. So they spent the treasure, but I worked there in college all 4 years. They either had a job on campus or off. But yet, that was a lot of money. But then, now looking back, look at me now. You're going to think, oh yeah, it was a waste. But I'm sure through the years, Mom and Dad said, well, I'm glad we sent Brian to a Christian college. Who knows what would have happened to him. I think years ago, Jim and Sharon, 1998. Jim and Sharon and our family, Christy and I and our three boys went to Scotland. What was it, Jim? 17 days? Something like that? That'd be a little over 2 weeks. That's a lot of money. At the time I kept thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. But yet the boys were involved in being drum majors for bagpipe bands, and there was a world competition, so our three boys went over there to compete in Glasgow, Scotland, for the World Bagpipe Championships. Looking back, that was worth it. I wouldn't take those dollars that were spent then for that experience. And just by the way, my number two son, Jordan, the 1998 World Drum Major Champion. And a 17-year-old in a juvenile division. That had to be done then, because when he turned 1 year older, he couldn't compete in that division anymore. But looking back, that was our last real family vacation. 1998. Was it worth it? Yes. Sure was. You see, this love sees the big picture sometimes. At least you hope, or even if you don't, somewhere down the line you're going to look back and say, that was worth it. Number two, love seems to be wasteful to those who don't love. Like our trip to Scotland, right? People probably said, Jim and Sharon, you're going with me, or we're going with Jim and Sharon. That's a lot of money. That's a kind of a waste, isn't it? But no, we loved each other and got along well. Yeah. Other people are like, that's too much for you guys to do. No, not to us. Because you guys don't love bagpipe music. To you that don't love that music, you're really thinking, what a waste. Well, I say music, just a lot of you, it's not music, it's noise. That's the idea. And I think all of life is an illustration of this principle. You talk to a young man who's dating his sweetheart, spending hard-earned money on dinner and movie or candy and flowers and perfume. I remember when Jeremiah was dating Sally, spending all that money on her. Oh, Jeremiah, just buy her a candle. But Sally says, no, 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 no. Of course, he's also saying, when did Jeremiah ever spend a lot of money? He's a tight one. But now they're married and two lovely children. Wow. And they're here this morning. Yeah, Eli and Eve. Was it worth it? Yeah. Oh, yes. Sally says, yep, quick to say, Jeremiah's going. No, he's all Oh, yeah, of course. It was worth it. Don't tell him, or don't tell her it's a waste of money, because they have their loved ones involved in it. Well, then, guys, our non-Christian friends can't understand our commitment to the church because they don't love the same. Because of our love, we spend time in our Bible class at worship assemblies and doing a lot of benevolence and ministry for one another. Our heart's involved in it. That's the story that takes place here. That's one of the lessons we learn. So we go out of our way. We spend more than what other people would do. And you tell them about our time commitment and what we're involved in. They're scratching their head going, you do how much for the church? You're going again? Didn't you go last Sunday? You're going again? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because their love is not the same. We make those kinds of sacrifices because our heart's in it. That's point number two. It's there. Why don't you make special trips to see my grandchildren? Why don't you go make that 2-hour drive up the coast or see my grandchildren? Well, because they're mine. Even though I know you love them. But your love is not the same as mine. So you're not going to make that same kind of sacrifice. Just as I don't make a lot of sacrifice for your grandchildren. But my heart, our heart, is involved in that one. So we go, and you may even think again, wow, that's a lot of time and money. Never regret it. Don't regret that. Why do we spend so much on missionary work? Our heart's in it. We love. So what, when you look at this lesson, we think, what's so special about this story of Mary breaking open an alabaster box? Because it had to be done right then. Even though she may have not have seen the big picture, later she probably looks back. Well, if I didn't do it then, I'd missed an opportunity. That event would not take place again. Had to be done then. Second, love appears wasteful to those who don't love. So what you're doing with your family, parents spending so much on your children, or husbands on wives, or wives on husbands, I may look at it and think, oh, what a waste. Oh no, but your heart's in it. Your heart's in it. Number three, the last one. Love seizes the opportunity. See, the critics at the supper were saying that could have been sold and done and given to a much better work than just pouring it on Jesus' body. Jesus said, you have the poor with you always. Whensoever ye will, you may do them good. Whensoever. But me you have not always. See, there will be a time in your life and mine that will need extravagance, that we will need to lavish out on someone, and if we don't see it, it will never be repeated. It will have to have been done right then. It was 1999. 15 years ago, I think this week, Jim, and you'll remember, Christine's sister was in a hospital for a heart procedure. So we're home. Okay, we'll see her when she gets out. But then we got the call just after noontime from her husband that said, come up to the hospital, gather the family together, something's wrong. I called Jim and Sharon at work. Sharon said, I'll be right over and I'll go with Christine to the hospital. I said, and Jim, can you get off work and ride with me over to Gila Bend, Arizona to pick up Christine's parents and bring them over here? You see, Christine's parents, her dad had just had open heart surgery 4 days before in Phoenix, and he just got home up in Prescott, Arizona. Made lots of calls, I'll cut this short, made the call to the doctors to get his pills because he couldn't fly. Had to go get him. Made arrangements for a Christian family in the congregation of Prescott to drive them to Gila Bend. And I said, Jim, can you get in the car with me and drive to Gila Bend, Arizona to pick up Christine's parents? Yes. I was calling you from 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, I think we were on the road. 9 hours later, we made the it's an 11-hour trip, we made it to 9. Now, we drove to Gila Bend, met that family there at the truck stop or the McDonald's, pulled our car in right beside them. Darren and Wilma got out, they hugged their neck. There's a family there, we got in our car, and we turned around and started back this way. Stopped at the first rest stop to make a phone. You know there were not cell phones in 1999. We stopped at the first rest stop, called Christine, or called the house. Do you want us to come to the hospital or come to the house? They come to the house. Darlene died. Story continues. What if I got in the car and made that trip by myself and Jim didn't go, and he learns later that night, the next day, Tuesday, Darlene died, and he says, oh, why didn't I go? No, he broke the alabaster box, and so did a lot of other people. His boss had to break an alabaster box too. Okay, Jim, I'll cover it for you. Smaller box, still broke the box. Sharon took off work too. A lot of boxes were broken for that event. But it had to be done then, because it was an event never to be repeated. See, love seizes the opportunity. Jim, I said, oh, Brian, I got too much work. I'm really involved. I got a meeting tomorrow. I got a plan to prepare for it. Well, but this took precedence. I'll put away whatever else I have and ride with you to Gila Bend and back. Jim kept saying on the drive, Brian, you get sleepy? No, I'm okay. On the return trip, probably the top of the mountain, there was even fog or something, and all you could see is white lines. I just, Jim, I'm tired. I don't think I'm falling asleep. Would you drive? And I think the next day, Jim told me, Brian, I didn't tell you then, but I was sleepy too. I couldn't keep my eyes open either. But we'll do it. Yeah. Love seizes the opportunity. One more story. A couple years ago, I was at the gas station down here getting gas. I saw a lady at the other pump on the other side. She was asking people for money for gas, a gallon of gas. I thought, oh, no, I'm going to have to give her $3. That was my first thought. So I said, well, maybe I can hurry and finish filling mine before she gets over to it. No, and then she went around the other side and I, oh good, oh maybe she got enough money for her car. I finished filling my tank and all of a sudden, sir, I'm all right. She said, can you spare me some change? My niece has an appointment at Alvarado Hospital way on La Mesa. Doctor appointment, we don't have gas for the car. Okay, well just stay right where you are and when I finish my tank I'll come over and put my card in and give you some gasoline. So got over there, put the card in, fill up, start filling the gas, got to be $5, and I said, I'll give her 10. Put 10, and then at the $10, I said, I wonder if her tank really is empty. I'll keep pumping gas. 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, $46 later, I realized her tank was empty. Wow. But you know, you can see her eyes going at the tank and looking at me in the tank, looking at me the whole time. And said, yeah. So she finally, we finished up, she hugged my neck and she went on her way rejoicing. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you want to know the next time I fill up. You want to be there. But trust me, I know, you can tell me a sob story all you want, but that's not going to work. I know what some of you other guys are thinking. Probably didn't, man, she must have been pretty. Must have been a beautiful person. No, there really wasn't anything attractive about her. In fact, she looked a lot like Dennis Burchett. Except she had a mustache. But I can just imagine what she said when she got to her sister's house and that baby, at least in my mind, I'm thinking she probably ran in and said, you know, you won't believe what just happened. This handsome hunk of a man that killed my family. I can just, at least that's the way I dream about it. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. See what love does? You know, and by the way, I've never done that again. So you only do once, or maybe a few more times. But by the time I filled her tank and mine, it was over $100. And I started out, I didn't want to give this lady three. So looking back, point number one, you realize it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Second, love will seem to be wasteful to those that don't love. It'll appear to be wasteful. And then number three, love seizes the opportunity. It'll have to be, that's the danger of delay. If you don't do it now, you'll lose your desire, you'll lose your opportunity. One of those two things. And that's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. For those who are not Christians, if your decision is to become a Christian, be baptized for remission of sins, we can honor that request. Or there's someone here that wants to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we can honor that request too. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. You need to respond, if that's your desire, in a public way, simply let your request be known. We sing this song.